Sophia has been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient, and you once walked in these things where you were living in them. But now you must put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all.
Thanks, Aaron. Hi, Youth Church. It's great to be back with you again. I feel like it's a bit strange that I've barely seen you for most of the year, and then we get to the end of the year and I get to preach you guys twice in quick succession. So, I'm really excited about that, and I hope that you guys have as much fun preaching as I do, listening. I don't know, one of those things. We're going to have fun together. So keep your Bibles open, because we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, as Aaron's just read, but we're also going to flick back into chapter 2 and even a little dabble in chapter 1. So keep your Bibles open. Today, we're thinking about some pretty big stuff. We're thinking about life, we're thinking about death, we're thinking about heaven and earth, and we're even thinking about what you might wear tomorrow. Now, obviously that's seems a little bit different to the others, but our passage today is all about what you focus on. And it demands that we think carefully about these three things, about heaven and earth, about life and death, and about the kind of things that we do, the kind of things that we put on or the things that we put off. And it tells us that focusing on these things is really important. See, when you focus on something, it becomes the lens that you look through at everything else. If you're thinking about the HSC, then I'm sure that everything else that you think about in life all becomes thought about in relationship to the HSC. Or holidays, everything is how long until I get to go on holidays. Or when you're at school, everything is how long is it until 3 o'clock? Or whenever you knock off school. I used to knock off school at 2:40, so I don't know about you guys, but whatever you focus on changes the way that you see things. So our first point is that we want to focus on Christ because our life is in him. Now, not only is our life in Christ, but also our death as well. That seems a little bit strange. If you trust Christ, then Colossians tells us that we've died with him. Not just that we're alive with him, but that we've died with him and have been raised with him. Now, verse 3 in our passage tells us that we've died with him. But this is an argument that builds off what we see in chapter 2. So if you go back one page in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 12 and 13 together. So Colossians 2, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. So we see that in Jesus, not only are we alive, but in him we have died. But we've been made alive. And this is the foundation for all that we look at that comes from chapter 3. Christ is our life, and in him we have life. So when we think about what our life in Jesus looks like, or what it means to think that our life is in Jesus, that's the kind of thing that we need to remember. That our life is united with Christ. It's with him. And the only reason that we have life is because we're with him. But where is this life? Well, back to chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 tell us that the life with Jesus is at the right hand of God. It's not necessarily here that you can see it. It's above. And the logic is that if your life is there, then that's where your mind should be too. It doesn't make sense to have the two things separated. They're meant to be together. Because your life is with Christ, and he is above, then your mind should be with Christ and above. Now, I've got a bit of a question to help us think about this. Does anyone remember what a Walkman is, or know what a Walkman is? Okay, good. I'm getting a few hands. That's good. Anyone who doesn't know what a Walkman is, what about a Discman? Okay, actually less hands for Discman. Okay, that's fine. If you think about listening to music, right, it kind of went Walkman, and then it went Discman, and then it went MP3 player, and then from MP3 player it went to iPod, and then after your iPod it went to your phone. And I assume most of you listen to music on your phones now, right? Is that... I've seen a few nods. That's good. Okay. So, you're somewhere along that list, but there, if you had a Walkman, it would make no sense to listen to music on it now. Right? You have a phone. You don't need to listen to it. And your music, well, Walkmans used to play music from cassettes. And no one uses cassettes anymore. Like, no music that's been made within like the last probably 30 years has ended up on a cassette, right? There's no music there. Your music now is on Spotify, it's in the cloud, it's on your phone, it's whatever. So if we want music, we think about the internet. You think about your computer or your phone. You don't think about the Walkman. Your life, if you think about your life, you won't think about the old life. You won't think about these old things. We want to think about Christ. If you're thinking music, you're thinking what you currently have. Well, currently, right now, if you trust the Lord Jesus, your life is with him. It's not in the old things. If we trust that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and taken that penalty for us, if he is the one who has died the death that we deserve for rebellion against God, well, then that's where our life is. It's with him. And if that's where our life is, it's not of the earth. It's not of the things in this world. And so we need to be reminded of that and to look to where our life actually is. So if it's about focusing on the life that we have in Christ, what does that mean for our life now? Or our old life, or the things that we used to do? We're at point two, and I want to remind us that the things of the old life or of the lost life, they're not ours anymore. They're gone. The things of the old life are to be gotten rid of. They're not in the new life. They can't be, because they're not things that Jesus did. They're not things of Jesus. They weren't things that he did when he was here, and they're certainly not things that are attached to Jesus at the right hand of God. And that's where our life is. So our life can't have those things in them. They're not of us. If we look at verse 5, it tells us that we're to put these things off, but we're actually to put them to death. Because we used to be like those things, and we have died with Christ. So those things too should be dead. They should not be with us. These things don't belong to this new life. Now, verses 9 and 10, if you look down there, it tells us that this new life that we have is all to do with Jesus. It tells us that we're being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of our Creator. It's about this new life with Jesus. So, if you still had a Walkman, like I'm assuming that does anyone in this room still own a Walkman? One guy owns a Walkman. Okay, great. Okay, or two. There's two Walkmans. Okay, now, I'm just going to have to ignore you guys for the sake of this analogy. But let's say you had a Walkman and you chucked it out because it's no good anymore. All right? But maybe you still had the headphones. Or maybe you still had the charger for it. But the trick's on you. They don't have chargers. They're so old that you need to replace the batteries. Crazy. Okay. Why would you keep all the cassettes, for example, that your Walkman had if you don't own the Walkman anymore? The cassettes make no sense. Why would you have those? You can't play them. Having the new life with Jesus and trying to hold on to the things of the old life is like having your phone with Spotify and then having all the cassettes in your other hand and bashing them against the phone trying to make music. It's stupid. It doesn't work. Those things don't fit together. They don't work. Those cassettes, those old things, they belong to the Walkman. They're useless and irrelevant. They're obsolete. They're kind of crappy. Not good for anything. That's actually the same way we should feel about all the things of our old life. They're not good. There's no good reason to hang on to them. So I think the challenge in that is, don't look back at your old life fondly, happily, longingly, wanting, wishing it, missing it. I mean, I'm sure that the things of the old life, you enjoyed them at the time. But we enjoyed them because we were sinful. They're not good things for us. It's really easy to look at the past with glasses, with rose-tinted glasses. It just means you look at it and you think that everything of the old was really good because you miss it. But it's not good. It's actually really bad. It's obsolete. It's rubbish. We can't make music by hitting your phone with cassettes. We can't live a good life in Jesus by holding on to these old things. So we're at point three. Not only is the old self not any good, but the new self is so much better. It's better than you could even imagine. By the time we get down to verses 10 and 11, where it's told us that we should put these things off and not do this thing and not do that, you might be expecting like a rousing encouragement, you know, like a bit of a pep talk. Like, I don't know, if you play soccer or something, at halftime, your coach pulls you aside and he's like, all right, boys, like, we can do this, like, just run faster. I don't know. I don't play soccer. Encouragement. But instead of encouragement, it more just seems to be telling us what is happening, what's already happened, what's been done by God, what God is doing. It tells us that he's going to make us in the image of his son Jesus. That the thing that is happening to us is actually to be made in the image of our Creator. To be made in the image of God, and Jesus images him. So we're going to flick back in our Bibles two pages this time, back to chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 15 to 18. Oh, actually, maybe it's not two pages. Maybe it's just one. Chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. It's talking about Jesus. The He is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So that he might come to have the first place in everything. That's Jesus. And we're being told in verses 10 and 11 that we're being made like that. This new creation is happening in us. God's doing that. And it points out to us that this new life that we have in Jesus, this new life is so much better. It's glorious. It's better than anything else could ever be. We're talking about Walkmans, right? You sell your Walkman because it sucks. They aren't any good. You get Spotify on your phone, you get your noise-canceling headphones, you put those on, you're like, yeah, this is good music. This is even better than that. This is like box seats at the orchestra at the Sydney Opera House. This is like front row tickets to your favorite concert. It's so much better. It's so much better. It's as good as it could possibly get. And we need to keep remembering that the thing that we've been given is so much better than what we used to have. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. We shouldn't be thinking of putting off the old things like that. It is hard. Don't get me wrong. It is hard and difficult. But it's not like a chore that we have to do. It's a privilege, it's a blessing, because in putting that off, we get to put on something that is way better. But the challenge to that is, well, do we actually talk like that? Do we think like that? Do we encourage each other like that? Do we remind each other of exactly how good it is, what's coming for us? How good it is to have lives with Jesus? And I think that's the key to helping us put these things off, is to remember that the old life actually does suck compared to the new one. We need to focus on how good the new life is with Jesus, to remember that, to know that our old life is, it's obsolete, it's rubbish, we don't need it. This new life that we have that's coming with Jesus, it is hidden. Verse 4 tells us that it's hidden and it will be revealed when Jesus comes back. And sometimes that can be really hard and a little bit discouraging when we keep looking for that new life that's coming back. But I want you guys to remember that the new life that we're waiting for is so far and away better than anything we've seen before, that it's not a chore to put off the old things. It's actually a real privilege. And by reminding each other of how good the new life that we have in Jesus is, we'll want to focus on it and we'll remember it. Why don't we pray? Great Heavenly Father, we thank you for rescuing us from death and from your anger. We thank you for uniting us to Jesus, that in his death and in his life, we can have life, that we have died to the things of this earth. Please help us to remember this, to focus on Jesus, to look forward to the life that we have in him, and to cast aside the rubbish of our old life and to live for Jesus. In his name, amen.